allowed to do. Now, we have regulations by the state, and we have regulations within our own department. Cities can regulate use of force, and also states also regulate use of force situations.
Chief, one of the things that I understand is unique to the state of Alaska is that all use of force instances have to be reported to the state. And that's something that is unique to Alaska and not many other states do. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. There's also a national reporting database. And I mean, we're trying to get use of force reported. It's coming at the local level. It's what's considered use of force. Some departments considered departments that the officer takes his gun out of his holster, that's considered use of force. Some departments don't classify that as use of force. So there's some difference on the beginning of the use of force, but overall it's collected in Alaska. Every month we fill out a report and we send it in.
Chief, why don't you go ahead on to the other items?
And also it's important to understand Alaska's ahead of a lot of states because it requires about 1,000 hours of training in an academy environment. And that's a lot more hours of training than I would say a lot of the lower 48 regarding training. And that covers everything from domestic violence to implicit bias training to physical force training to shooting to operation of motor vehicles. So there's a whole training cadre built around 1,000 hours. And I think it's important that people understand we don't just say, welcome to the department, here's your badge and gun, now go do good. So there is a lot of training that officers receive initially in their career as they come on the department.
Chief, do you want to talk about how ongoing training is not so much required in Alaska and some of the things that you are considering bringing into place here in the department for ongoing training?
Yeah, one of the things that struck me is a little different in Alaska is that there's no continuing education requirements. Some states require 40 to 48 credit hours every 3 years, but there's not that requirement here. It's left up to the individual departments to provide continuing education. So the first thing I did is we went through the training records and we're kind of coming up with a plan to continue the continuing ed aspect of your careers because we can all remember when you came on and started your career versus wherever you are today. Obviously, your careers have changed and the dynamics and the career challenges have changed. And we need to change with that. And one nice thing is, you know, outside of Bruce, Lieutenant Smith, we have a very young department that really just got out of the academy in the last roughly 3 years. So it's nice to have training. They want to go to training. And there's some, you know, interesting challenges in Alaska I found out about getting training. It's not as simply getting in a car and driving an hour down the road and getting training. Obviously, we got to bring people in. We've got to work with that aspect of it. And we have reached out to Petersburg. I've talked to the Petersburg chief about sharing some training resources and about doing ongoing exercises with Petersburg and some other areas because obviously that's who we would depend upon in an emergency would be Petersburg.
And what kind of training does that include, Chief? You've talked about some use of force and some implicit bias training.
It would be use of force training, implicit bias training, CIT mental health training. I know one of the things that I've talked to the city manager about, and she's been really supportive of, is you know, coming up with training for mental health of the officers throughout the year, not just after a critical incident, but you know, checking in with the officers throughout the year to see how their mental health is doing. You know, law enforcement traditionally has done a bad thing of is we do really well after a major incident, but we don't really deal with the ongoing and the daily and the weekly and the monthly. Sometimes there gets to be some things that you see and you deal with that takes a human toll on how we treat others in our lives and how we treat obviously the citizens. So I think that's important. And I will say that, Lisa's been really ahead of the game on that and being supportive of that. So that's important to us as a community.
Thanks very much, Chief. We don't have a policy as of We will be coming up with a policy that provides for regular access to ongoing mental health assistance if and when it's needed, and in a preventative manner. As the chief said, we don't want to leave it until after an event has occurred. We want to make sure that we're with our officers day to day as they need it.
And I think another thing that I've reached out and talked to the city manager about is the idea of a community police committee. And, you know, we're still looking for a mission statement. We're looking for what, you know, a relationship with the community that, you know, we're your police department. So, you know, let's work together. And I think that's important, that guidance and that connection to have independent review. I think we're open to it. We just want to be able to build that bridge to it.
Chief, I think you cut out there.
Oh, sorry. I don't know where I lost yet, but I talked about the community police committee that I talked to you about earlier, about having, you know, coming up with a mission statement, but I want to work with the community to come up with our mission statement as a department, because we are part of your community. And I think you need to have input at that.
So, Chief, to that end, do you want to speak a little bit about community involvement and engagement expectations that you have, ideas that you have as the chief?
Well, I've encouraged all my officers to get involved in the community events. You know, you got Little League, some of them have children in the school system, to get involved in that. I've spoken with the school principal at the new principal at the high school. I used to teach college. I've offered to come in and work with kids, on a social studies atmosphere, something like that, to discuss these problems. Because I'm more than open and available for special events. I just require a little bit of notice. But I think it's important to get out and to see people outside of our daily grind as a police officer, to see what we can do for the community. And the other events are, you know, coffee with a cop. I was going to start doing that on Tuesdays. Doing some stuff, you know, shopping, kids and shopping around Christmas, stuff like that. And I think it's important to build those kind of bridges in the community and develop that trust, so to speak, in the bank, because it goes a long ways in dealing with people on a human level.
Chief, I think we've hit the highlights of the points that we wanted to get out there. Do you have any additional items you would like to talk about or things we might have missed?
No, I think you've got a very young, inexperienced department that's really looking to learn and be an active member of the community. And I think that that says a lot about the community, about the people that you've hired. And I think there's a lot of potential here to develop a good relationship with the community and moving forward. And obviously COVID has really thrown a lot of issues regarding community gatherings and stuff like that. And I really wish, obviously COVID wasn't here for a number of reasons, but it's really put a damper on some of the things I wanted to do, like community night out, cops in the park, stuff like that. So we'll get there, it just takes time.
All right, thanks, Chief. With that, I'm gonna open it up. We have a list of folks that have asked to be recognized to ask some questions or to provide comment tonight. So the first one of those is Eli Michael. Do you wanna go ahead and ask your questions, Eli?
Sure, I had a question around diversity training. Is it just provided in the training at the very, very beginning you were talking about with the 1,000 hours, or is there some kind of policy within the department here that allows for, provides diversity training across all kinds of different diversity?
First off, thanks for the question, Eli. In the academy is where that training is traditionally taught. It has not been an ongoing training mechanism. We don't have a policy, but I can assure you, we've been looking at a lot of programs to get that ongoing continuing education, because that's one of the components, like I said earlier, that's been missing. And I don't think it's been missing on purpose. I think it's just for a lot of reasons. So I think it's important. We're recognizing that, and we're currently looking for training. And if you have some kind of training that you think I should look at, I'm more than happy to look at it if you get a hold of me.
Great. I do have some connection and some ideas, so I'll send you an email. Thank you very much.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Eli. The next person on the list is Caleb at the Sentinel. Caleb, you have a couple of questions?
Yes, I have two questions, possibly for Chief Radke or you, Lisa, whoever can answer them. First, how exactly does the Wrangell Police Department run background checks on people that they are hiring? And secondly, does the police department or the city in general have any plans to increase transparency between their organizations and the community, or do you feel that transparency is pretty good how it is right now?
I'll take a stab at it. Well, I'll answer your second one first. I think transparency, I think we're doing good with it. You can always improve on it. And that's one reason when I've talked to the city manager, the community police committee, I think might be that intermediate step to open that up, and let's see where that evolves, and let's see the citizen participation we get from there. I think that would be a nice first step going there. The first comment about backgrounds, traditionally the department itself has done the backgrounds. And I think how they're being done, is that your question, or just who does them?
Yes, I was hoping you could kind of give me like a quick summary of how a background check is conducted.
Well, first off, they go around, they check the applicant that's been, sends back in a bunch of paperwork. They verify that applicant. If that applicant is then selected, they verify it through the Alaskan Police Standards Committee. And it goes from there. Now, I know this time, the last one I think Bruce did was, he called the other departments, asked for any internal affairs complaints, and you go down a whole checklist that I don't quite honestly have in front of me right now, Caleb. But there is background that's checked all the way back to your previous employers.
All right, thank you very much.
Yep.
Okay, next person on the list is Tyler Nelson. Tyler, are you on the line to ask your questions? If not, we did say that we would be happy to read those questions out loud and answer them. And so the first question from Ms. Nelson is, what actions will be taken when accusations made against an officer are found to be false? Our officers are held to a high standard and must be supported when false allegations are made. Chief, do you want to take an initial stab at that question?
Sure, more than happy to. And I think it's important to, I encourage internal affairs complaints because I know we're doing things right and I want to verify we're doing things right. And so I take it to heart if somebody comes in and makes a false statement or accuses an officer of something that just didn't happen. I am one that believes that needs to be forwarded on to the district attorney for charging of making a false report. I think it is a two-way street, and I do want to hold my officers accountable. I also want to hold other people accountable. So that's my answer for that question.
Tyler's second question is, what programs are in place to protect the mental health of our officers? Can we contract with Search to provide our officers with access to mental health professionals? I think we answered that question previously, and although we don't currently have a policy, we are putting one in place. Because we think that's a hugely important aspect of the support for our officers.
And I think too, just not the mental aspect, but also when I first got here, city manager, you were really, you understood the fact of having officers work out on duty. And so you've been encouraging, I think, for the well-being of the staff of the department. So I think that's important to recognize also.
Okay, next on the list is Don McConaughey. I believe he's on the line and would like to say something or ask questions.
So Lisa, if you can maybe just skip over Don for a second. It looks like he stepped away from his device.
Oh, sure. Well, then I'm going to go to Julie Decker. Oh,
no, he's back. He's back.
Okay.
I'm here. Sorry. Just a little history. I have always been in support of the local police department. There is a lot of very good reasons for it. Number one reason I will mention is our family endured probably one of the most horrific crimes that ever happened in this city. And the police department was very, very proactive in doing what they had to do. I was there that night and I knew what they had to do was dangerous and what they had to do was very necessary. I'm glad that it came out okay as far as police welfare is concerned. I also am worried that what is happening in the lower 48, but has, to the best of my knowledge, never happened here, that we aren't putting the cart before the horse and doing something that really isn't necessary. Our chief has already told us that we have a young department. He is a brand new chief. There's some of the things that have his predecessor up until the day he retired. I called him Officer Doug because he was in the school with the kids, and that's what all the kids call them. And a lot of these things have happened. It would be nice to see them ongoing, but budget constraints change all that sort of stuff. We need to be in support of our police department, and I think that happened yesterday when there was 50 plus people marching up to the department from downtown, and I think it shows that this community is behind their police department. I'm not saying every policeman is without fault. Everybody has faults, myself included. But for the most part, the training that I think is supplied to the police departments and to the to the community that doesn't know what training they go through, the community actually needs to be understanding of the things that they have to face. And I just wanted to make a statement. I'm saying I am 100% in favor and in support of our police department, and I think I personally, over the years, they have done a wonderful job. They've even given me a ticket, you know, and that never bothered me even a little bit, you know. It was Dave Jack, by the way, so that's a lot of years ago.
Before my time.
Thank you very much, Don. Appreciate your comments. Next on the list is Julie Decker.
Good evening, everyone, and Chief Radke. I wanted to, first of all, say thank you for your openness to this conversation and to others in the community bringing forward concerns, you know, questions. I think it goes a long way to building trust in the community that you're willing to entertain the questions and the discussion. And you have mentioned that the force is somewhat young, and I think almost more importantly, new to the community. And so in the wake of what's going on down south, I think Wrangell in the past and now and into the future, we have a special potential to really actually know each other. You know, the community and the police department can actually know each other on a level that I think really helps avoid a lot of the issues that happen in the lower 48 and maybe other large communities. So I just want to say I personally really support your efforts to look at community policing and efforts to get your force out there and meeting and interacting with the community on multiple levels. I think that's an excellent idea that you talked about earlier. And any kind of support that you need from the assembly, I'm personally supportive of that. Again, I just want to say, I think it really speaks to your leadership, and the fact that you're open to having these discussions, and I appreciate that.
I think, Julie, one of the things that I've appreciated, I came from a large agency where nothing's personal. You're getting to the next call. There's 10 calls waiting. So I got to take care of this because I got to move on. And it's nice coming to a smaller town like this where you do get to know people and there's a personal connection. And that's kind of where, big city cops can learn a lot from small city cops because of those connections. And small city cops can learn a lot from big city cops because of officer safety and other things that you quite honestly just don't come across. So I, for my career, it's been a really good experience to come to Wrangell and see the community's really supportive of us. They're open to us. And so it's been refreshing. It's validated why I wanted to come here. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Assemblymember Decker. Dale Parkinson, are you on the line?
Is my audio unmuted?
We have you, Dale.
Okay, very well. Speak to something that I have not heard yet this evening, but I have read and heard the buzz in town. And so it may seem a little out of context, but what I have heard is that there's going to be folks demanding to know what the department is going to do about the institutional racism that exists in the Wrangell PD. An assumption actually exists. And I assert that assumption is not based in fact or evidence. I'm not aware of any civil rights lawsuits, nor experiences of any I know, or maybe even of the complainants themselves of racism by the Wrangell PD. There may be some axes to grind. Don McConaughey mentioned getting a ticket. Other folks have gotten driving under the influence tickets. Certainly make that defendant angry at the police department, but the citizens of Wrangell appreciate getting drunk drivers off of the streets for their own safety and the safety of the public at large. The argument that I have heard is since there is racism in Wrangell, that it follows there is institutional racism in the police department. And that is totally ridiculous. When people say we
Dale, we've lost you. You're cutting out.
See the racism you were talking of, prove that there is racism. Oh, I'm sorry. Must be my. Oh, it says my internet connection is unstable. I don't know where I left off. I don't know where you lost me.
You're clear now.
I'm clear now. Okay. Saying that there are no civil rights lawsuits to point to. There's not been experiences by anyone that I know of racism by the Wrangell PD. There may be some axes to grind, like receiving a driving under the influence ticket, which would certainly be upsetting to the defendant, make them angry at the police department, but the citizens of getting drunk drivers off of the street for the safety of the driver and for the safety of the public at large. The argument that I have heard is since there is racism in Wrangell, that it follows there is institutional racism in the police department. That is totally ridiculous. When people say we don't see the racism you're talking about, that does not in and of itself prove that there is indeed racism in the Wrangell PD. we can see that the emperor's new clothes are indeed invisible. Hamstringing or abolishing the Wrangell PD because of possible potential future outcomes, which are based on a fallacious theory that since all humans have biases, that all police officers will act in the most base manner and be unable to deal with the public in an ethical and colorblind manner. That would be a travesty to this community if they were hamstrung. We can take a look at Minneapolis. Tom, I think you probably have your finger on that pulse. So I ask the city manager and the assembly and you, chief, to not make decisions based on emotion and fallacious arguments and potential outcomes, but only on evidence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Next on the list is Mike Lockaby.
Nope.
We got you.
Hi, I'm here. I'm here. Do you have me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Trying to get rid of the radio here. So, actually, just a statement of support there. Most of the public knows me. I don't know too many of the officers anymore, but my wife served with the Wrangell Police Department for 7 years, and I was involved as a reserve officer for many, many years. I'm a decorated reserve officer with a gubernatorial commendation and an oak leaf for courage under fire. A lot of people don't know that. But just wanted to say, I don't see racism as an issue in Wrangell. I've lived here, raised my family here for 40 years, 38 years. I don't see it. I think it's something we all have to be on guard of, especially in the hysteria of late across the nation. I'm not saying it doesn't exist in other places, but I don't see it here, and I've never really seen it. I see all backgrounds interacting together all the time. And I just wanted to say, I support the police department. I'm not a fan of defunding. I'd like to see them be a little closer to the community with some meet and greets, but that's about it. And that's my comment. Good luck, Chief. Good work.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. And like I said earlier, COVID kind of got in our way, or we would have had some meet and greets already going into the summer and stuff like that. So I think we're working on it. We're on the right step. It's just kind of had a big thing come our way.
Thanks, Mike. The next person on the list is Jennifer Jackson. Jennifer, are you available?
Hi, I'm